Good morning, guys. Welcome to EMP. So let's open our devotional books, light devotional books, to page 88. And the title for today is called Kneeling in the Light. Okay. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he see now?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents asked this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." For the second time, they asked the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, for we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to the one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." Let's pray. So, Father God, thank you for this time in the morning to come to you today, to listen to your word, and to really receive what it is that you want to say to us today. Father, I just pray that we come with open hearts and open minds to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I just want to give you guys a little background on this passage. I'm sure all of you did your devotions yesterday, especially Bonhamers. So the passage for this is talking about the blind man, and this is the same blind man that Jesus actually healed by spitting onto the ground, making mud, smeared it on his eyes. The guy goes and washes his face, and lo and behold, he sees. And now the Pharisees actually go to the parents to question them, and they ask them three questions. And it's actually one of the first points I want to make. So the first question they ask is this your child? Number two, was he born blind? And number three, how can you see again? And if you read, the parents actually only answer two of the questions. So number one, yes, this is our child. Number two, yes, he was born blind. But then for the third question, they say, you know, go ask him. He's of age. I'm sure he can answer for himself. And in the scriptures, it says that it's been agreed upon by the Jews that anybody who professes that Jesus was the Messiah or Christ, that they'd be thrown out of the synagogue. You know, for nowadays, we think, big deal being thrown out of the synagogue. But actually, it was a pretty big deal back then, because being thrown out of the synagogue, it wasn't just a place of worship, but it was also a place of community. And so being thrown out of the synagogue also meant that you were being exiled from the group. You're no longer part of the group. You're alone. But then having said that, I still feel like the parents could have had more courage, because they're not exactly telling them that Jesus was the Messiah. You know, you're simply stating the fact that your son was healed. You don't know how he was healed, but this man called Jesus actually healed him. And even after being asked, they refused to say what the young man had been telling the Pharisees all this time. So the first point is fear of man. And although we know God's goodness and we sing his praises every Sunday, and we talk to our Christian friends and our fellowship about how good he is, but when it comes to actually talking to our non-Christian friends, our unbelieving friends, we decide to shut this part of our lives out. You know, we're afraid that people are going to judge us based on what we say, what we believe, or even what we experience personally every day. You know, it's like, oh, you know, Eunice, this girl, she says she was healed. You know, she's a Jesus freak kind of thing. But might I suggest to you that actually Jesus redeems all. So back when I was just a little boy in grade 12, I just got baptized that summer, so I was super excited. And I remember sitting in our common room at school with a bunch of friends. And some of these friends I actually grew up with back in primary school, so they were really, really close. I remember turning to one of my best friends at that time, and I was like, dude, I got baptized this summer. And all I got back from him was a really confused look. And he was like, so? And I was like, dude, what do you mean so? You know, I got baptized. What do you mean so? It's like, what don't you get about the word I got baptized? You know? So I was really frustrated. But at the same time, I was super embarrassed because I felt like everybody else around me was actually thinking the same thing. That, you know, I was this Jesus freak guy that got splashed with some water and then called it holy, you know? But then right at that moment, and a friend actually came up to me and was like, you got baptized? You know, that's awesome. I got baptized too. And it was because of this sister that I came to know that there's actually a Christian fellowship at school, which I started attending. And it wasn't until then that I actually started opening up to people about my spiritual life and to actually talk about it. So God redeems all. You know, all you need to do is just step out in faith, proclaim his goodness, and God is going to do the rest. You know, you might not receive that uplifting moment straight away like I did, but at least you planted that seed into your friend's heart, and then who knows, that person might come to Christ later on. But now I want to also talk about what Jesus said. So in this passage he says, for judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. And so what I think Jesus is talking about here is spiritual blindness. Now, a lot of people might think that, oh, he's only talking about non-Christians, you know, because it says in 2 Corinthians that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. But I want to say to you that sometimes the people who are the most blind are actually us, the ones who actually believe. And we're the ones that are in darkness, as the author actually suggests. So we as believers might think that we're the ones that see because we have Jesus Christ, but might I suggest to you that there are actually some areas in life that actually make us spiritually blind. First, I want to actually read you a passage from Matthew where it talks about why Jesus actually talks in parables. So although this passage we just read is actual truth, so it actually happened, Jesus says in Matthew 13:13, therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And then he starts quoting Isaiah, which says, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their hearts are hard of hearing, and their ears have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. So in the Bible, a lot of times, it says, like in the case of Pharaoh, you know, that God hardened his heart. But a lot of theologians actually think that this is actually the writer's way of putting it more poetically and saying that that person actually chose to harden their own heart. So we have a choice, actually. They had a choice. We have a choice. We have a choice to open our ears and hear and let the deafness be taken away from us. And we also have a choice to open our eyes and have that blindness taken away from us. So we have a choice. So the first thing I want to say that causes us to be spiritually blind is ignorance. You know, if we don't open our eyes and open our minds to actually learn God's word and his truth, you know, we won't learn it just by sitting in sermons and listening to the sermon and just trying to soak everything in. I mean, sure, we're going to learn one or two things, you know, very good things. But is that enough? Is that enough for us to be filled and to be fed? So in times like today, when you really want to understand something, then you have to read, study, and also have an open mind. In the passage, it says that the Pharisees ask and ask and ask again about how the young man came to see. They even went to the parents for the same question. And they're so set in their ways that they can't even see the truth that's in front of them. They can't even see the miracle that has happened. And they're so set in their ways that they want to prove that Jesus is a sinner, that he performed a miracle on the day of Sabbath, that they completely miss the point that somebody was healed from being blind and it's never been done before. And just a little side note, the Greek word for miracle is actually semeion, which also translates as sign. So actually this is a sign already that Jesus was the Messiah, and they completely ignore that. And so for us, I feel like I'm guilty of this too, is that we approach church or we approach God in our own preconceived notion, but we don't step out of our comfort zones to say that I don't actually know much about the Bible. I think I should read more and learn more about it. We should never put ourselves in this position where we feel like, you know, I know one or two verses from the Bible. I know 1 Corinthians 10:13, and hey, that's it. That's all I need to know. Or it's more like, you know, PSAM's, that's his job. You know, he's supposed to give us these passages, and then I'll think about it, and then I'll read about it. He's supposed to feed me. But sometimes that is our attitude, and that's not really healthy. So I feel like the first step to overcoming this spiritual blindness is actually to just start reading. You know, you might not understand everything that you read right now at this moment, but I feel like the more you read and the more that your heart is open to God and his truth, the more you're going to understand, the more that's going to be revealed to you when time comes. I feel like for this, it reminds me of a TV show that I watched before, and it's about this new technology that lets blind people see. And they said that the blind people had to actually relearn the vocabulary because now they have to associate what they see with the vocabulary that they actually know. So that's sort of like us. You know, once we receive Jesus in our lives, our spiritual eyes are open. But if we don't see things through Jesus' eyes but our own, then what's the difference from being blind if we can't even tell what's standing right in front of us? So lastly, I just want to suggest that hardness of heart and humility also causes spiritual blindness. So in this passage, again, the Pharisees asked the men, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And then he answered them, I have told you already, and you will not listen. Why do you want to hear this again? Do you also want to become his disciple? Then they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, here's an astonishing thing. You do not know where the man comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to those who worship him and obeys his will. And so, the hardness of heart. If we're unwilling to change our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, then God won't really manifest his work within us. Because what does God really want us to change first and foremost? And that's actually our hearts. You know, the heart is the center of our being. It's where the spirit is. And it's who we are. So in having this heart of heart, you know, we hold on to different grudges that we have. We hold on to the whatever hurt that we've been through, and also the hurt that's been done upon us by others. And we're not willing to just let go of it. So if we're unwilling to change our attitude and to really soften our hearts, then I feel like this can only result in our hearts being hard and also for us to remain in blindness. An example of this for myself would be actually when I first started coming to Solomon's Porch. I was actually super against, you know, speaking in tongues. I was like, God, that doesn't happen anymore, or visions or whatnot. And I was like, that just doesn't happen. And for the longest time, I just had that in my heart. No matter what kind of signs that God gave me, that yeah, this still happens. You know, I was still set in my mindset because of past teaching that this stuff is dangerous. I should never touch it. But then after But after some time, you know, after going through the retreat and listening to what other people had to say, my heart started to wander and started to soften. And then I started asking God, you know, what is this? You know, my heart is now open to you. And it wasn't until then that God started speaking to me about the truths about speaking in tongues or visions or whatnot, and then actually applying it to myself as well. So it is really important that we don't come to God with our own preconceived notions. We don't come to God with a hard heart, but we come to God being humble and at his feet and really seek him for his will, you know? So yeah, let's close our eyes, and as Eunice leads us in a time of worship, I want us to spend some time just praying and asking Holy Spirit to reveal to us what it is that is making our hearts hard, what it is that is stopping us from getting closer to God today, and what is making us spiritually blind. You know, Spirit might reveal to you something other than ignorance, something other than the hardness of heart or humility. And I feel like once you feel like God's spoken to you about what is making you spiritually blind, I want you to just spend some time praying about it and asking God really to help you to remove whatever it is that is stopping you from getting closer to you. So let's spend some time praying.
Step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Upon that cross and And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see.
Let's spend some time praying for the author, Chris Robertshaw, who is the pastor of Tung Chung Church, and they meet at the YMCA of Hong Kong Christian College in Tung Chung. So just let's lift up this church and its leaders, that God will move mightily within them, and that they will set their eyes upon God, and that be what they're working towards. Let's pray for them. Let's move on to our community focus. Let's pray for people, our friends and family who are going through cancer or chemo, or those who actually need transplants. Let's pray that God will provide for them and that His healing hand would be continually on each and every person. So let's pray. Next, let's pray for friends and family who are going through illness right now, but also need salvation. Let's just pray that the word of healing and also the word of salvation will come to them, and that through this healing that they might see Jesus. Let's pray. Let's pray now for brothers and sisters who are going through other illnesses. Again, let's just pray for the mighty hand of God to be over them, for healing to be released upon their lives. Just pray. Next, let's pray for those of us who are looking for work. Let's also give thanks to him that actually Kevin Lee actually signed a contract or is going to sign a contract. So let's praise God for that as well. Let's move on to our mission focus. Let's pray for China today, for our church plant, SB Beijing, our friends, the Chong family, Nate and Matt's parents, the Basaraba family, Leanne Chang, who's in Beijing now, Edie Clark, the Chishihar kids, and also the different churches within China, especially those who are being persecuted at the moment. Let's really pray that God will open new doors for them and continue to just provide for these churches and individuals. Let's pray for the SP staff, that Father God will work alongside with them, that they are able to lead this church in the direction that he wants. And also pray that they won't be burnt out with all the work that they have to do, and that God will provide them with supernatural strength, supernatural energy as well. So let's lift each individual up. Let's pray for the worship team, the sound and media team. Just pray that they would continually have this heart of worship as they lead us into worship, as they usher in the presence of God every Sunday, also during the river as well. Let's just pray that as they lead us and as they pick the songs to worship, let's pray that they are actually downloading from God each individual song so that we as a body can receive something as well. So let's just pray for these teams. Let's pray for Art Anonymous, the creative arts ministry. Let's just pray that them too, that they will download from God what art to make. You know, let God be the palette that they use. And let them be able to inspire, you know, us as the body to be creative and to worship God in different ways, that it isn't just about singing songs or whatnot, but it's also through arts that we can also worship God. So let's just pray for the leaders of this team and also those who are in it. Let's also pray for the house churches that are going to be meeting tonight. Let's pray for Kennedy, OPR, Bonham, Kowloon, and LKF. Let's just pray that as they meet tonight, that it'll be a good time of fellowship and that every person have an open heart and open mind to share what it is that they've been going through so that they're able to bless one another. Let's also pray for the house church leaders so that they know how to lead their house church into the presence of God. Let's pray. Lord Father, thank you so much for this morning. We're able to just come before you and to lift up different prayer requests to you, Father God, because we know that you will listen to us. And Father, may you bless us today as we go about our work. Father, may our ears be open to you 24/7, Father God. May us be able to hear you talk to us and really feel your presence around us at all times. And Father, I just pray that whatever that is, was spoken to my brothers and sisters here today, Father, I pray that they would be able to meditate upon it today and let their spiritual blindness be taken away from them. So thank you, Father, for bringing us here today. Thank you for this time where we're able to just calm ourselves and start our day fresh. Thank you, Father, we love you. In your Son's almighty name we pray.